So we're in Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 26 and just read down to verse 28. Then we'll look at some other verses as we go through this, but this will start us for our Bible study. So in Genesis chapter 1, I'll start in verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them..." Now, that's important to understand, because when he says man, he's talking about mankind. We know that because he says them. He's not talking about just Adam, but Adam and Eve. So both Adam and Eve, both man and woman, is made in the image of God, because it says, "And let them." So we see that he's talking about both. "And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Now, we can stop here and say, right there, that verse proves that God is against homosexuality and against this whole idea of gender confusion. He made a man and woman, and he gave them a command: go out and be fruitful and multiply. That cannot happen in homosexuality. Okay, that was never God's intent. God's never intended for man to be with man, woman to be with woman. That is a completely opposite of what God intends. It's wrong because it goes against the will of God. And the same idea that here we see in Scripture, that God created them one or the other, man and woman. They were distinctly different. So we come to this idea of gender confusion. It seems to be a hot-button issue in our culture, which probably doesn't speak well of our culture, but it seems to be a hot-button issue in our culture. Now, Satan, the Bible tells us, is the god of this world, and he is actively, and has been actively for 6,000 years, actively promoting an agenda that seeks to remove God from every part of our society. This is what Satan wants. He wants to remove God and God's authority and any affection that man may have towards God. Now, the goal that Satan has is to remove that control or any control that God has on us. Now watch. And for you to be free to live any way you want. Satan's goal is not for you to worship him. Satan's goal is for you to do what you want. Because you know what happens when you do what you want and you live according to the flesh? You're going a satanic way, apart from the Lord. You're going out from the Lord. You're rebelling against the Lord. You're living contrary to the Lord, which is exactly what Satan did. He rebelled. And so really, if you're not following the Lord, the only other one to follow is Satan. How do we do that? By following ourselves. And so that's Satan's plan, to remove any control that God has on us, and then for us to be free to live any way we want. Now, unfortunately, Satan's promised freedom. And that's what he does. He promises you freedom. You don't have to listen to the Bible. You don't have to listen to your parents. You don't have to listen to the government. You don't have to listen to anyone. You can sit there and riot and protest and demand whatever right of the moment that you think you need to have. And you can be that way. And you can just live the way you want. But no one ever lives the way they want. Everyone lives subservient to either the Lord or to their flesh, either to spiritual things or to carnal things. And so Satan's promised freedom, now watch this statement, Satan's promised freedom is well-disguised bondage. And he's bringing this world into bondage. They think throwing off biblical and historical and logical understanding of gender somehow, now we're free. No, now you're in bondage. Let me show you a couple of verses. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll come back to Genesis here in a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look with me in verse 24. Where I want? Let me see if that's where I want. Yep, that's where I want. "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, why? That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. So when I come to the acknowledgement of the truth and I repent now of my sin, that helps me to get out of the snare of the devil, who is taken captive by him at his will. And that's what we're talking about. Let's go to another place, 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2. Look with me in verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them, watch this, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. And so that's what we're talking about. Satan's promised freedom is a simply well-disguised bondage. Now let's talk a little bit more about this idea of gender confusion and this culture that thinks that you can be fluid that way, that you can jump from one side to the other and just whatever you want to be. That was 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Got it?
Thank you.
Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Sorry, sometimes I talk fast. Now, for some, I think it's important that when we go talk about something like this, that we're not just so hard-hearted towards them. If Satan already has them in bondage, they need the Lord. You're not going to, now watch what I'm about to say, you're not going to beat them into getting right. The Lord needs to change their heart. Now, in no way am I saying going along with it, winking at it, being okay with it. But we got to be careful about our attitude towards them, because listen, I don't hate them, I hate the sin. And they're in bondage to that sin, and they need to be freed from that. I'm not going to be okay with it. I'm not going to go along with it. I'm not going to agree with it in any way, but I don't want them to think that I'm hating them. It's the sin that needs to be taken care of. Just like it was drunkenness or drugs or whatever other sin that it may be, they may be in bondage to. So I believe for some, this is a real battle, and they truly want help. That it is going on in their life, and they're confused, and is a real battle they're in. But I also believe for others, and maybe even the majority, I believe for others, this is simply a current issue, and they want attention. There's a lot of copycats out there. There's a lot of people, they don't just go like this to figure out what they believe. They go like this to figure out whatever is going on, and they want to be a part of that so that they get the attention. And all they're doing, they're just claiming something so that people say, oh, is that right? And they'll get the attention. But there are some, I think, it's a real battle, and they truly want help. And those insincere copycats make it hard to really distinguish and maybe help those who really want to help. Now, I also think there are many factors involved in this gender confusion. There's the physical, there's the psychological, and there's the spiritual. But at the root of all the factors is sin. Regardless of what's going on that's bringing this about in their life, it ultimately is a sin issue. Sin always confuses and complicates life. Sin never makes things better. Sin always makes things worse. Go with me to Romans 8. Look with me in verse 20. Romans chapter 8. And in verse number 20. Sometimes we forget this. We think about sin as far as mankind, Adam and Eve, but you understand this? When sin came into the world, it messed up the whole world. Everything about the world is messed up because of sin. Not just man, everything. Nature, climate, birds and the bees, the deer, the antelope, the skunks, everything is messed up because of sin. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So we think about ourselves, and that is true. We're looking for that day when we are free from the very presence of sin. But there's going to come a day when there's a new heaven and a new earth, and all the sin in this world is gone. Even the very the scars of sin are wiped away. It's our whole new heaven and no whole new earth. But as of right now, we live in a world that is affected and impacted because of sin. And we think about this sin being the root cause of whatever factor is. I mean, just look at each factor and explain for a moment. When it comes to the physical factor, we have to understand that sin has brought corruption to our bodies. People say this. They'll say, well, I was born this way. And then you want to argue with them. Why are you going to argue with them? They were born that way. It's called sin. We're all born sinners. Some sin you have more proclivity to or desire towards than other sin. Some people have really a problem with anger, others not so much. Some people have a problem with lying, others not so much. But we all have a sin nature and a sin desire. And so because someone tells me, I feel drawn towards a certain thing, that doesn't make it right. It does not excuse it. It doesn't excuse if you're drawn towards something that's sinful, it doesn't make the sinful right. It's still sinful. Because you want to punch someone in the face because, well, you know, I was born with a hot temper, does that make your hot temper right? Does it give you an excuse to go out and punch people because I've always been this way, Pastor, I've always been hot-headed, then you've always been wrong because it's not right to live that way. And so regardless of the physical desires that may come, it really, it's an old argument. It just gets reworked in different ways. I remember Brother Howes telling a story years ago. Some guy he was dealing with who had a problem. He had cheated on his wife multiple times. And Brother Howes was just saying, you know, dude, what is your I know he probably didn't say the word dude, but I am. He said, dude, what is your problem? How could you keep doing this to your wife? And his statement was, well, Brother Howes, I'm just oversexed. And Brother Howes looked at him and said, no, you're underbrained. This is that whole idea that because I have a desire and I give in to the desire and because I just really strongly feel that way, then it makes it okay. But it does not make anything right, no matter how you feel about it or how you're pulled to it. It doesn't make it right. We're all born sinners. We're all born with a sin nature and sinful desires. Giving into the desire does not make it right simply because you have the desire. So there are a physical factor. I don't doubt that. There are psychological factors involved. The sinful actions of others have affected us. Different things can come into your life that can kind of mess you up psychologically. Some people have done some pretty bad things that have messed some people up psychologically. But that doesn't make doing it wrong. Okay, if you were raised in an abusive home, does that justify you being an abusive parent? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Now, you may have some proclivity because this is how you're raised, this is all you know. Let me tell you, but there's a thing we call grace. And God can help us do these things. So we look to Him for that help. So, yes, there is a psychological factor, but it still goes down to sin. Just because someone did it to you doesn't make it right for you to do it to someone else. And ultimately, there is the spiritual factor. And man simply wants to decide right and wrong apart from God. We want to be the judge to say this is right and this is wrong. But we're not the judge. He's the judge. And His Word tells us what's right and wrong. Go with me to Judges 17. Judges chapter 17. Look with me, verse 6. In those days there is no king in Israel, but every man did that which was wrong. Is that what it says? That's not what it says. It says every man did that which was what? Right. Well, that sounds pretty good, except if you read the last words, it says, in his own eyes. When you're the decider of right and wrong, that becomes a problem. You're not the decider, God is. Well, you know, I just think, well, that's part of our problem is we do too much of that instead of not enough relying on God's word. Proverbs 21, if you will. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. Now this is, I know you're waiting to write, fill in some blanks. We'll get there, I think. Proverbs 21, verse 2. Unless our church is stormed by the liberal hordes and we don't get there. Proverbs 21, verse 2. Every way of a, now watch how the Lord states this. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Have you experienced that in other people? That no matter what you say, they're right. My guess is they've experienced that in you as well. Because that's how we are. But I'm right. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. So he knows who's right and who's wrong about this. So as we get into this, I'm not trying to win any arguments or convince any hardcore liberals who reject the word of God. I'm not thinking somehow that we give this Bible study and the whole world comes to its senses. But I do want us to have a biblical understanding, so if we have to deal with someone, especially someone in our family, that's why it's in this particular series, dealing with the family. Now, let me give you one more thought about this, and I kind of alluded to it, and say it again. We are not required, nor do we need to be any harder on a subject than God is. Nor should we be any softer. We just need to say what God had to say about it. Our goal, and this is why last week led into this week, our goal is to make a righteous judgment based on biblical principle. If they want to fuss with the Lord, fuss with the Lord. But I'm not going to change what I believe. It doesn't matter if you're related to me, not related to me. If I feel somehow and some close affinity and relationship to you, like a friend or something, or maybe someone I look up to, none of that matters. What matters is what the Bible says. Most of you know that we have a Senator Rob Portman who was very much against homosexuality until his son came out and declared himself homosexual, and then all of a sudden Rob Portman changed his mind. I'm not going to do that. Now, I don't have to do that, in case you're wondering. No, neither of my sons have come out. No matter how I say that, I'm in trouble after that. Okay. What I'm trying to say is this, is that's not how you decide right or wrong. Well, now it's in my family, now I got to change my mind. Then you have the right mind to start with. If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. The Bible says it's right, it's right. It doesn't matter who you know who thinks otherwise or how you feel towards them. So our goal is to make a righteous judgment based on biblical principle. So let me give you just a couple thoughts now here, four thoughts about this, just to try to understand and have some just basic understanding so that we're not just butting heads with people, but we're standing on biblical principle. You ready? Number one, easiest statement I've ever made, I think. Number one is this. Biological sex determines gender. Who would have thought, right, that someone would have to stand up and actually pronounce that? How do I know that? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. So maybe we'll take this and we'll send it to CNN so they can figure out what to tell people. Genesis chapter 2, look with me in verse 21. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. Now, previously, he talks about creation in kind of a bird's eye, like a broad statement. Now he goes into the specifics of how he did it. So the Lord does that sometimes. He goes and then he kind of backs up and explains some things he just talked about. So we saw back there in Genesis 1 the whole creation story. Now in Genesis chapter 2, he gets into specifics. So he's kind of backing up and giving us the backstory. So let's back up again and go back to verse 21. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were ashamed. So in God's creation plan, he created Adam as a man and Eve as a woman. And Eve was a she. She shall be called woman. Therefore, Adam was a what? A man, and he called him he. So you have a woman who's a She, so you have a woman, that's the biological sex, she would be the gender. You have a biological sex connected to a gender, woman, she, man, he. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir, and you're like, yeah, Pastor White, you know, I didn't really come in doubting this, but I'm just telling you, this is very clear from Scripture. Because I would also tell you this, there's things that people waver right now on that I never thought they would waver on. And we waver because we just think things and don't know things from Scripture. They, now watch this, they did not decide whether they was a she or a he. They were created that way by God. God didn't come to Adam and Eve and say, okay, I got a she and I got a he. Which one do you want? He didn't do that. He said, Adam, out of man, I'm going to create a woman, and that's what she is going to be. So God created her, a she, and created him, a he. Created woman, she, man, he. Thus, each person created in the womb is created because just like God created Adam and Eve, if a child is in your womb, it is the creation of God still. All life comes from him. Okay? Life begets life. Okay, and all life ultimately comes from the Lord. So thus, each person created, and I have that in kind of quotes there, in the womb is created as an outward male, who is a he, or an outward female, who is a she. At birth, actually at conception, it's a he or it's a she. What does that mean for us? That means this, God intended that whatever biological sex a person is born is to be the gender by which they are identified. And we've all seen those videos on YouTube where some guy comes in and argues with the 7-Eleven clerk wanting to be called a she. And you're like, really? How crazy? And some of them are just, I mean, vicious and hateful about it. Because he'll say him and, I'm not a him, I'm a woman. You're like, no, you're not. You're crazy. Okay? We don't wait until they decide. God has already decided. Now watch this statement. To do anything to change that identity is a sin. At this point in time, the world goes crazy. How can you stand up there and tell someone that their identity choice is a sin? I'm not telling them. God is. I'm just relating to you what he has said. It is a sin to be born a man and change it into a woman, or vice versa. It is a sin. It's going against God's intention, God's will, and God's plan. Therefore, any lifestyle that incorporates transgender, transvestite, cross-dressing, gender dysphoria is unbiblical and thus wrong. There you go, Pastor. You're judging. Yes, I am. Look at the camera. I am judging because I'm making a righteous judgment. This is what the Bible says, and I'm looking at circumstances saying, therefore, it's wrong because it goes against the Bible. Man, that Bible's old. You're right. It was around before there ever was an earth. So was God. But neither have changed, and both are right. So therefore, any lifestyle that incorporates those things is unbiblical and thus wrong. Now watch, this judgment, saying it's wrong, saying it's sinful, does not require us to consider how they feel or what they want. Well, you know, we got to think about how they feel. No, I don't. You got to think about what they want in life. No, I don't. All I got to do is think about what the Bible says. That's all I'm going to do. Here's what the Bible says. That's going to be my judgment. I don't need to try to put myself in their shoes. I don't need to try to feel what they've gone through in life or understand what they've gone through in life. I don't need to try to empathize or sympathize. All I need to say is, here's what the Bible says. Here's what your life is doing. It's contrary to the Bible, so it's wrong. And if you want to be right, you need to do what the Bible says. Number two. So number one, biological sex determines gender. There is no wiggle room in that statement. There's no place to find anything other than a man is a he, a woman is a she. There are nothing in between. There is no changing sides. Okay? All of that is sinful and wrong and ungodly. Number two, go back with me to Genesis 1. And we're going to pick up again in verse number 26, where we were a moment ago. Because I want to use that to bring out the second big thought. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them..." And I pointed that out when I read it the first time, that God is speaking about both man and woman. Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." They're both created in the image of God. "And God blessed them, and God said unto them..." So God is speaking to them basically on the same level in that way, and treating them that way. So number two, here's big number two, our big second big understanding about this. Men and women are created equal, but not the same. This is where the world tries to redefine words. Well, if they're equal, they're the same. No, equality never means sameness. And I'll prove it in a moment to you. The world's teaching of equality seeks to remove biblical distinctions between men and women. There are distinctions. And then we don't have to be crude or anything. I think anyone sitting here knows that there's a difference between men and women. In many ways, physically for sure, but in many other ways there's a difference. So the world's teaching of equality seeks to remove biblical distinctions between men and women. This teaching of equality occurs to such an extent where one's identity as a man or woman can be interchanged. I mean, just like this. I mean, you just keep flipping back and forth. Think how goofy that is. Today, I identify as a woman. Not me personally. I don't even say. Today, this person identifies as a woman, and tomorrow, that person identifies as a man. And the world says, "Well, what's wrong with that?" Because you're one or the other, and you're born that way. You don't get to identify. It's how God created you. It's not what you want. It's what God made you to be. If the world's teaching of equality is true, that there is no distinction at all, equality means sameness, no distinction. If that was true, based on what the world is teaching, that type of equality, then gender could be switched based on simply preference. But that teaching of equality is not true. And that stings some people. Because they're like, because we have been so, especially if you grew up and went to public school, we have been programmed with this idea that you can never say things are unequal. I'm not saying things are unequal. I'm saying things are not the same. Well, isn't that the same thing? No, it's not. Just because the world perverts many things, including our language, doesn't mean that I'm going to let them steal those words and change them into what they want them to be. Bible equality does not mean that sexes or gender are the same or interchangeable. Now here's what I'm going to use in an illustration to help you understand that two things that are equal are not the same. So let's say where these projectors are, I have a big tarp. And in this tarp, I have 100 pounds of bricks. As soon as I pull the string, they fall straight down. And in this tarp over here, I have 100 pounds of feathers. How much weighs more? Now, and this used to be, I used to do this in my Christian school class because I like to do this because it would create all kinds of different discussions. What weighs more, 100 pounds of bricks or 100 pounds of feathers? And they all say, "It's the bricks weigh more." Okay, let me ask you the question. 100 pounds weighs what? 100 pounds. And 100 pounds weighs what? 100 pounds. So what weighs more? They're the same weight. Okay, so stand under the one you want, and I'm going to pull this string, and it's going to fall on your head. Let me tell you where everyone would be lined up at. Because just because they're equal in weight doesn't mean they have the same impact on your head. That's the same thing here. Because two things are equal doesn't mean that they have no distinction between them. There are distinctions even in things that are equal. Each man and woman, male and female, each was created uniquely to fulfill God's plan. And God's plan only works, be fruitful and multiply, is if there's one of each. Which also kind of messes up evolution. And billions of years, and this little thing evolved to be this. But if something didn't evolve to be the opposite sex so they could multiply, billions of years are all wasted. And so there's some problems with evolution as well. But each was created uniquely to fulfill God's plan. Each has strengths and weaknesses, which requires the other to be properly balanced. Men need women, women need men. God created it this way. How do I know? Well, let's go back to Genesis 2. Look with me at verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." And that is a true statement. Put guys by themselves, nothing good comes out of it. Things stink and get ugly real fast. "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet or appropriate for him." And then drop down to verse number 20. "And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him." In other words, nothing else could do what Eve could do for him. He needed Eve. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter number 3. Verse 7. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life." Notice that, heirs together of the grace of life, "that your prayers be not hindered." Again, the Lord reminding the husbands there that you need your wives and don't think you can live without them. And There is both strengths and weaknesses that the Lord has built into one or the other so that we need each other, we have to work together, we have to come together. The Lord has created it this way. So it should never be thought that one gender or one sex, biological sex, is more important or better than the other. That is not true. God created both men and women. He created both in the image of God. For us to look at women and say that somehow they're less than men is a criticism of the Lord. For women to look at men and say they're less than women, that is a criticism, again, of the Lord. So that both would be wrong. They're both created in the image of God. So there is a equality in the creation, but there's still a distinction in that. God's love is no different for man or woman, and Jesus died equally for both. Now, I know you know this, but again, it's a Bible study day, so let's look at the Bible. Galatians chapter number 3. Because there are people who take a teaching like this and they go into a ditch called being sexist or something like that, and that's not what we're trying to do. Genesis 3, verse 28. Galatians 3, verse 28. Thank you. I don't know what I said. Did I say Genesis? Okay. I got the letter, but not the phonics. Galatians 3, verse 28. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free." Now watch this. "There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus." So there is no one better than the other. So there is an equality, but yet there are distinctions. So both are the object of God's love, both are part of God's purpose and plan. Let me give you one more statement. The world wants to confuse the distinctions, not to promote equality, because equality is already there. But they want to confuse the distinctions to remove biblical authority. This whole idea of gender dysphoria or gender confusion or gender transgender stuff, it isn't because they're all equal and they can interchange. What they're trying to do is remove God's authority. I will tell you, man and woman is equal. Are they different? Yeah, they're different, but one is not better than the other. There is equality, but there is distinction. And we see that in the teaching of God's Word. And so we have to come under His authority there. Number three, quickly. Right and wrong are decided by what God says and not what we want. I'm going to go through this kind of quickly because we've covered this, but I want you to think about this with me. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Romans 1, verse 21. And this really cuts to the core of what the problem is. Verse 21 of Romans chapter 1. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to a corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. There are people who are foolish enough to say, well, God doesn't say anything about homosexuality in the New Testament. You have never read the New Testament. Okay, that is an open condemnation against homosexuality. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Doesn't mean that it's hard to do. I mean, it's not right to do. It's not proper. It's not appropriate to do. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Would you want to be in that group right there? Man, he's just ripping, isn't he? Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So it doesn't matter what they want, what they feel, what they think. What matters is what the Bible says. There are many desires in the hearts of men that are wrong and should not be acted upon. And if you got saved later in life, you know how true that is. A lot of things going in your heart that you should never act upon. Sin has corrupted our hearts and our minds. This is why we must let God's word be the decider, not ourselves. We have corrupt thinking. We have corrupt desires. That's the result of sin. We just can't give in to it. Colossians 3 talks about it. 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about it. If you want to mark those down, we don't have time to turn to every reference. Now watch this. Any desire that is contrary to God's word is a wrong desire. Period. The claim that we were born with that desire doesn't make the desire right. Claim it all you want, it's wrong because it goes against Scripture. Okay? The claim that some have stronger desires than others doesn't make it right. Well, you don't like it, but I like it. You don't want it, but I want it. It doesn't matter. It goes against Scripture. It's wrong. What you want, what you feel, what you think does not matter when it comes to Scripture. The claim that the desire never goes away doesn't make it right. No matter what I do, I still want to blank. Doesn't matter. Still wrong. You know, if you spend, let's use an absurd illustration to try to illustrate it. If you grew up always wanting to rob a bank, when does robbing a bank become right? Never. And everyone would tell you. If you go to Huntington and say, you know what, I just can't help it, I've always wanted to do this, give me all your money. They're not going to say, oh, isn't that nice, you're finally feeling freedom to do what you've... No. They're going to... You're going to get in trouble. It doesn't matter how you feel, what you want. Okay, you cannot act on a desire and claim it's good or right or proper because you had that desire. The Bible is the determiner of right and wrong, not any type of feeling, desire, or however you want to classify it. Now I want you to look at this because this is a prophetic statement. It's not because I'm saying it and I've got it from other places, but you can see the direction our society is going and how this is going to not turn out well. Once desire becomes the basis of right and wrong, then everything is right and nothing is wrong. And that's what we're headed. Everything is right and nothing is wrong. Because we have got to the point where we just simply let right and wrong be based on, well, how they feel about it. It doesn't matter how they feel about it. Can you imagine how much filth and corruption is in the heart of man? Could you imagine if we let every man act upon that filth and corruption? That is not going to be a good place to live. So there has to be a decider, right and wrong, and that is the Word of God. Let me give you the fourth one. Kind of brings us full circle. We need to be aware of Satan's agenda and protect our families. Unfortunately, our public school system is no longer a school system. It's a carnal, corrupt indoctrination system. 2 Corinthians 4. You know, when your books you're putting in your school says Heather has two mamas, it's vile and wicked. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look with me in verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's the problem. They're blind about these things. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Now, obviously, the solution is win them, help them to throw off the darkness, come into light. But we can't sit here and go along with sin, hoping that someday everyone gets saved. We have to take a stand for what's right, even though we want to see people saved, but we still got to take a stand for what's right. So Satan's agenda is to blind, confuse, and deceive this world so they will stay in their sin and not turn to Christ. That's his agenda. Revelation chapter 12. This whole gender confusion is just a part of that blindness. I think personally, I don't think Satan really cares whether they're confused or not. He just simply wants them to turn from the Lord. And if this is something that will do it, go for it. It's whatever will keep people from following the Lord, from being saved and following the Lord. That's what he's for. Revelation 12, look with me in verse 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan. Now watch his statement, which deceiveth the whole world. That's what he's doing, deceiving the whole world. He was cast out in the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Ephesians chapter 2. So he's blinding their minds, he's deceiving them. Ephesians 2, verse 1. We're almost done here, just bear with me, please. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked, in other words, before you were saved, that's the idea, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. You live like all the other unsaved people. According to the prince of the power of the air, that's would be Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, behavior, in times past. Now what was that behavior like? In the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And that's exactly what we're talking about. And we're by nature, that unsaved old man, by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. So that's what we see. That's what's happening in this world. We have to draw lines. I'm not going to go along with it. And I don't care what the media or whatever says. I'm not going along with it. Which brings us to this statement. Satan's agenda is propagated, promoted through media, fashion, and ungodly teachers. Those are the three big ones it uses. I mean, you look at the fashion. It everything wants to make, especially now, I mean, they've done different things, but now it's like everything that guys want to wear makes them look like they're... It's effeminate. Much of it is effeminate. And let's move on. Jude chapter 1. Jude chapter 1. start in verse 14. Because you say, Pastor White, you really think the world's that ungodly? I think the Bible's true. And let's see what the Bible says. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesies of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute. Now, that's the after the seven-year tribulation, the physical return of Christ. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all. Now, watch the wording here. And to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. In other words, as long as they get a little like on Facebook, they're happy. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you, there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. We still want to win them. We still are trying, but we're not going to compromise and go along just to go along. And others, say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So we have to be aware of Satan's agenda, and we've got to protect our families. We just can't go along. And it may make us unpopular, but we're not worried about popularity. We're worried about being biblically right. Let me give you a couple quick statements here. It is important to remember that It is important to remember that even though this is a current issue, it is not a new issue. Please understand that. Wow, in 2021, everything's crazy. Everything's always been crazy. It started way back 6,000 years ago in Adam and Eve. I mean, the difference is the morality of the world has crashed. There was a time when ungodly people were ashamed, so they didn't want everyone to know how ungodly they were, so they did things more in secret. Now it's almost like a badge of honor how ungodly you can be. And part of that is, there's a lot of reasons. I don't want to get too many sidetracks. But the truth is, this has always been going on. Homosexuality is not a new issue. Men and women trying to change their identity is not a new issue. It may be more open now, but that's why we see Scripture that we can look to, because God knew we needed it. Every generation fights the same battles, even if some battles are more pronounced in some generations. This is what the Lord has put us in. This is what we fight. If we lived at a different time, there might be a different battle that would be more pronounced, but this is more pronounced. This is where God has called us to stand. It's also important to remember that God's word was given knowing these battles would come and therefore has an answer for us. Doesn't surprise the Lord. The Lord, we have ammo, we have whatever we need to fight, we have it here in the Word of God. So every generation, and this is now the last statement I'm going to give you, this brings it all together. What does this mean for us? Are we going to go down there and go walk down the street and start punching out people? Nope, that's not what I'm calling. I don't think God is calling us to do that. But I think there are several things, but this one I think is important. Every generation, I'm talking about a generation of believers, Grace Baptist Church 2021. Every generation needs to reconfirm and recommit themselves to living by God's word and not current societal pressures. You're going to get it. You can get it from your family. You can get it from your friends. You can get it from coworkers. We need to say, you know what? I'm going to stand on the word of God, and whatever happens, happens. That's what I'm going to do. And whatever happens, happens. All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing and his help as we pray.